Wednesday, you guys. Yeah. You can be more excited than that. Come on. Welcome to Crossroads. Oh, yeah, somebody's whistling. That's awesome. Love the excitement. I am so excited for tonight, and I'm so happy you are here because tonight is going to be so, so good. And we are starting off tonight with a new song that you may or may not have heard before, but it's been really impactful to me and my hubby lately and helped us connect with God, and I just wanted to share it with you guys. And my kind of goal for this night in worship is for all of us to just connect with God's heart and feel his presence and just make him smile. And so I want you guys to feel free to worship however you worship. Stand, raise your hands, get excited, sing at the top of your lungs, or stay seated and just let this wash over you however you worship. But we're going to sing together, so here we go.
What a moment you have brought me to, such a freedom I have found in you. You're the healer who makes all things new. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not going back, I'm moving ahead, here to declare. Made new, surrender my life to Christ.
go, guys. Yes, thanks to the Lord.
Thanks to the Lord. My God is mighty to say, He is mighty to say. than all the others, than all the others in my life. Please keep my eyes fixed on you. Please root my heart so deep.
Meeting us here and the chance to sing to you and hear so many voices singing out to you and worshiping you. It's incredible and humbling and amazing, and I'm just thankful to be a part of it and to be right where I am right now. And I love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You guys sound so good. It's awesome. You can shake somebody's hand. Tell them howdy.
That was sweet. That was sweet. Thank you, God. Hey, I'm Chuck, and welcome to the first last Wednesday of 2015. Awesome. You know, that last song is really why we gather on last Wednesday. We want to press in a little bit closer to God through singing and through other things that happen on nights like this, communion, and in a few moments, vision, to hear what God has for us. And also because we know that there's a power when we come together as a community. Tonight's pretty special because in about 2 minutes, we're going to go live with three other locations, Florence, Mason, and Westside. We're all going to be hearing the same message at the same time tonight. First time. First time we've been able to do that. Brian's going to be talking with us about vision. And I just want to frame that up a little bit for you in Oakley, because as I listen to what you're going to hear tonight, I hear a theme, and I want you to have this in your mind. God is entrusting us with new things, people. He's entrusting us with new things. And at the top of that list is God is entrusting us with new people. We said we wanted to wait it to be an outreach. We wanted to go after our friends who don't know God, our friends who want to hear about Jesus in a language they can understand. And just in Oakley, we've got, any estimates would say, between 1,200 and 1,500 people who are here for the first time versus last year. So God's entrusting us with new things. And it's really incredible. And the thing that I want you to think about tonight is this parable that Jesus told of the talents. And he entrusted talents to people who he believed would be faithful with them. And for us, being faithful looks like making room. So as you hear what Brian's talking about tonight, I want you to just have this lens on of, I want to make space for this in my life. Sometimes that space is going to look like praying for direction and clarity of vision as God leads us into new places. It's also going to look like us making physical space for our friends. We are packed out. If you come to 10 and 1145, you know that. And so I'm encouraging you guys, as you think about the new people who are coming, to make it a point to go to Saturday or to go to Sunday morning at 8:30 to make space for the new people that God is entrusting with us. And after you hear Brian talk tonight, I think that will make a whole lot more sense. So without further ado, I'm going to invite Brian up to talk about the vision and where we're heading in 2015.
Awesome. All right. Well, they told me to make sure I have a start for the video, or not for the live stream. So here we go. Okay, how'd that work? Everyone with us? Can I have a thumbs up? Mason, Westside, Florence, Oakley, anyone in Oakley? All right. Man, Oakley was a little loud. How loud are you, Westside? Can't hear you. Mason! Florence! Y'all? All right. Hey, let me pray before we go any further. All right, God, thank you for just a united community, united church that gathers all over the place, but is about you and about the things you're doing in this thing called Crossroads. So I ask that you would help me to be helpful tonight. I know a lot of us are wondering, I don't know what we're wondering. Some of us are wondering, what is a vision night? Some of us are wondering what might be happening this year. Some of us are wondering, when's this guy going to stop talking so I can get back to having communion, singing that amazing songs that we had. But where we are and what we want tonight is to be with you. And so help me to facilitate your people, not Crossroads people, your people, to be about the things that you want to be about. And I pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, we have coming up this weekend the great national holiday that we know in America, the most unifying national holiday, which is the
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. Yes, exactly. Let's have a few questions here. This is absolutely the biggest thing in our culture that all religions, all races, all sexes appreciate more than any other holiday. Who won the Super Bowl 2 years ago? You probably wouldn't even remember who won last year had we not been talking about the Seahawks, maybe the first time back-to-back winner in quite some time. Who did the halftime show last year at the Super Bowl? Who did it 2 years ago? All right. Who? Good, good, good. Okay, here's one. Who was the losing team in the Super Bowl last year? All right. Denver, was that the right? Okay. I think you see where I'm going right now. This thing that is so big and so defining for our culture, and I love it, and I get caught up in the Super Bowl frenzy. It's just fun. We have obviously a service this weekend that's all about that. But, how many people can remember who's the person who first explained Jesus to you in a way you could understand? Who remembers that? Who remembers that answer? Okay. Who can remember something God did in your life this last year that made your life a bit different? Anyone remember that? Okay. Who can remember a sermon here anywhere in your life that you've heard that, man, that when I heard that thing, that just altered. Who can remember one of those? You know, here's what am I saying here? It is amazing to me how much our culture works to capture our imagination. And there are firms that are worth millions and billions of dollars that work on capturing your imagination and my imagination. Why? So they can capture our money. They can capture our dollars. And I'm willfully a part of it, and I don't think any of that is necessarily dirty. But here's what I'm saying, friends. People are trying to capture our attention for something that's not going to last until the next month. It's not going to last until the next year. And the one thing that captures imagination, has been doing it for thousands and thousands of years, is Jesus. He's the one who captures imaginations and captures hearts. So for those of us who are part of Crossroads who showed up here today, tonight we're just getting really clear, really clear. The best thing in the world you can be involved of is the work of the local church and the body of Christ. That's the best, most enduring thing in the world to be a part of. And we need to get really clear on this because there's some really great things that are happening we need to give God thanks for, and some things that we're going to need to be praying about over this next year. I don't have any big, like, grand unleashing new information tonight. It's not a lot. There might be a lot of new information for some of us, but just so you know, there's no big bomb coming tonight. This is just same old that we do on a year-in, year-out basis, trying to clarify why Crossroads exists. Why is it that we're in 5 different locations right now? Why is it that we keep doing aggressive moves that I want to share with you tonight? Why is it? It's because that's what God's called us to. And from Colossians 1:28, it's one of the first verses I memorized. First, I memorized it, I think, in the New American Standard. Then I read the NIV for a long, long time, now in the ESV. So I'm sort of this Bible translation mutt, so I can't ever remember exactly how the verses go anymore. But I have the ESV translation up here, and it says something like this. Him we proclaim and admonishing people with all energy that we might present every person mature or complete in Christ. I love this. We labor. Who ever thought the work of the kingdom of God, the work of the local church, was going to be showing up and hearing some Bible verses? Who ever thought that the place you go to just relax is to the church? Whoever got this idea that God enlists you in something where you can be passive? No, we labor. We labor and we strive. And why? Because someone labored and strived for you and I. Some human being representing what Jesus did when he labored and strove for us on the cross. They labored for us. And so the downline of the call of Christ is for us to be present with him in relationship, growing in our walk to maturity in him, and laboring to bring other people into that relationship and to bring them to maturity. Friends, I don't know if you realize it or not, but we have been laboring this last year. Oh my goodness. We have been laboring. And you know, the fruit that is there is really profound and it's present. I got this email just this last week. It says this: my wife says you need to bring your A game. Nothing like a nice little email that's challenging you, because you suck. That's basically what she's saying here. We've been friends with this other couple for 7 years, and they are well aware of our faith, but they have shown little interest in following Christ themselves. They're happy to bow their heads in prayer at a meal and read our family blog where we are unashamed about our faith. Well, they just agreed to join us for the Super Bowl. How exciting. Thanks for providing a great place for our friends to come. Oh, and my money is on the guy from Philly. I love that. This is when CrossRoads is best. We got people who are growing, people who are praying for their friends, people who are inviting their friends, and using the things that we provide here at CrossRoads, that we all provide through our giving, through our serving, through our praying, and pushing the kingdom forward. And as a result of these things, there's some pretty awe-inspiring things happening. We are standing in the line of the movement that Jesus brought to this world that we see in the book of Acts, chapter 2, 43. It says this: everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. I love that. Everyone was filled with awe. Friends, we should be filled with awe at some of the things that we're seeing around here and we're experiencing, and God is allowing us to be a part of, and I'm hoping that happens with you today. We've had a bunch of different teams around CrossRoads over the last 19 years. We have people who are serving in Kids Club. We have special training events and celebration events for folks in Kids Club. We've got people in First Impressions. We have similar stuff for that. We have people who are artists in the artist realm. We've had people like that go to conferences to stoke their creativity. And we had a long time a ministry called Space, where artists would just get together and they would have space to create. And we funded that, and we try to encourage artists. We gather together people who are dealing with all kinds of issues and difficulties and fund those things and yada, yada, yada. And the one group over 19 years that we've never really done that with until just recently are people who faithfully tithe as a part of CrossRoads. And so we started this thing called the Blue Team, and we're hoping to get more and more people involved with the Blue Team. We had a really great event several months ago, a little party, just like we've had parties for all different groups of people here at CrossRoads. And then one of the most amazing times of worship I've ever had in my life in the auditorium at Oakley. And I recently, because as folks are tithing, they're really saying, I'm really funding the things that God is doing, and I'm fully surrendered. And we just really feel like for those kind of folks, for you kind of folks, we want to be able to give you some perspective that we just can't give on a weekend in a 65, 70-minute service. So I sent an email recently to the Blue Team. I want to capture some of the things that I sent to the Blue Team, just because there's stuff that they're good for all of us to know, because it's filling me, actually, with wonder, and it should cause you to be in awe of the things that are happening here in our church. The first one, how many of us go to Awaited? Anyone go to Awaited? Jeez, my knees, my goodness. We, this is one of those things, a faith-filled endeavor. Last year Awaited, it was really crowded, and we thought, to whom much is given, much is required. What would it look like for us to totally maximize it and see if we could have 100,000 people coming to Awaited? And a lot of people thought, oh my gosh, that would be ridiculous. Don't know if that could happen. And what do you know? We all rolled up our sleeves, and we enabled over 120,000 tickets to be taken, and we had over 88,000 people show up at Awaited this last year. Friends, that is ridiculous. As far as I know, there's not another Christmas anything anywhere in the world that has 88,000 people coming to it. As far as I, and here we are in Little Podunk, Cincinnati. Little Podunk, Cincinnati, people are contacting us all over the place. What are you guys doing? I heard about this thing. And people have been coming from all over the arts community, just really blown away by the level of creativity and the arts that's there. And this is the way the body of Christ used to be. The body of Christ used to rule the arts. The body of Christ used to have the most creative people. The body of Christ used to set the tone in the arts. And then some legalist got the idea that Christians shouldn't be involved in media, Christians shouldn't be involved in the arts because they're a waste of time, and the arts started to suffer as a result of it, and the body of Christ started to suffer as a result of it. And we're sort of stepping into the beautiful legacy
of the body of Christ, that arts are important, and seeing God use that is crazy. Now, one of the difficult things that we had going into Waited, it is so resource intensive from all of our time and all of our money at Crossroads. Depending on how many people come, it's anywhere from $6 to $8 per seat to pull that sucker off. And so we can't just keep doing that mindlessly. We can't just keep doing that as a matter of tradition, because we have some traditions around here at Crossroads. Super Bowl next week is a tradition, this week is a tradition, and that tradition could go away at any time. Super Bowl could go away at any time. And we don't just say, let's just keep doing this because we've always done it and there's a lot of people there. We have to be able to see with that kind of volunteer or unpaid worker output, that kind of those amount of checks that we write, we've got to be able to see how does that build into our ministry the rest of the year. So we've been paying really close attention to January. Those folks that we had coming to Awaited, and many of whom gave their life to Christ there at the end when the chains dropped off, are they coming back around? Are they coming back around in January? And the resounding answer is, yes, from Clockwork Orange. Remember that old movie? Yes. Yes, they are. Of course, maybe you don't know that movie because you just read the Bible and you don't watch sinful movies like that. It is. We are in the midst of a, they might call it in other circles a good old-fashioned revival. They might call it in other circles a genuine Holy Spirit awakening. Folks, seriously, we have been like off the charts at all of our sites over the last several weeks. We're averaging over 22,000 people every weekend right now. It's nuts. Clifton, that started just not too long ago and has a whole bunch of difficulties with it because we're still trying to nail down the right site that we can have guaranteed every single week. So they met in a different site last week. And still, with 250-some people coming, it's like larger than the average church in the country, and they're barely even started. We have over in Mason, my goodness, when we started in Oakley, when we actually took a building going from rented in Hyde Park to having a building of our own in Oakley, we doubled in 3 months, and we tripled in 6 months. Mason, you've doubled in 3 weeks. 3 weeks, a church has doubled from about 2,000 a week to over 4,500 a week. We've had 260 new kids and families, every week since it's opened up. Every week, new people. Can you imagine what that does to a family? When you have a child who's connecting with God in Kids Club, and you have a mom or a dad who's able to pay attention in a service, what that does to a family, what that does to a community, what that does to a trajectory, I'll tell you what, those kids may not remember what they learned in Kids Club 3 years from now, but I'll tell you what, that family, that life will be different, and the world will be different because of that, and that's what we do. Mason, amazing what you're doing. I know it is amazingly difficult. You're looking at changing, adding services for Super Bowl and trying to figure out how everything going. I know parking and everything has been rough, but Mason, phenomenal, utterly, utterly phenomenal. We applaud you in all ways. Westside is a year old, not even a year old, and 1,500 people are coming. They're like more than ever every single week in the West Side. One of my cool stories about the West Side is when we did Awaited, we invite obviously all campuses to try to pull off Awaited because it's a Crossroads thing. It's not an Oakley thing, but since it's at Oakley, not everybody from all campuses actually come. In fact, our estimates are like in West Side and Florence, about 50% of everybody who's part of those campuses actually attends Awaited. But nonetheless, they send volunteers to Oakley to sort of help with all the needs. And Westside by far had the highest number of people who, when they came into Oakley, had never been to Oakley before. Percentage of people. Like, oh, what is this? Crossroads has this building? You're kidding me. That's cool. Yes, for those who are part of Crossroads Oakley, you are not the center of the universe. So I know that bothers you. I know. In fact, we're very close. Like, the rest of Crossroads is equal and soon to go way past you. So that's great news, isn't it? Isn't that phenomenal? Florence is doing amazing, 3,500 people a week. And again, all these numbers, as we see in the Bible, they add these numbers and they look at these numbers because all these numbers represent a life. Florence, if you guys be going the way you're going with what you're doing and a massive development going beside you, God led you, yet led us to the right property at the right time. You are poised to be used by God in ways you don't even imagine you're going to be used by Him. And then, of course, in Oakley, where I am right now, these campuses, I mean, about, I don't know, 25 to 50% of the initial attendance was all people who were drained out of Oakley. Oakley is an amazing feeder campus that just sends, if you will, missionaries out to start. And every time we start, it gets filled up like immediately. Oakley is at all-time highs right now. This is a very, very rare thing for people in the history of the kingdom of God to be a part of. Very rare. And we need to thank God for this. Right now. I don't care where you are right now. Thank God. We get to do this. The difficulty with all of this stuff is, as a result of how God's brought us, we are up against the wall because we've just learned that when a room gets about 80% full, it stops bringing new people because new people come in and go, I can't find a seat for myself and my wife. My three friends can't sit together. This church place is too crowded. There's no place for us. And so 80% or 70% capacity is when we've just seen over 19 years. We've got to start adding a service or doing this or that. And it's really, really difficult to add services at a lot of our sites right now. Really, really difficult. And we really don't see right now how we're going to be adding another site anytime hyper soon. So we're sort of up against a challenge, and we're not sure exactly how we're going to figure that out. But, man, we're in some ways capped right now as far as reaching new people. And while all this happens, our student ministry is on the move. It is amazing. Friends, this has been one of our more difficult ministries to get a hold of for 19 years. There's a lot of reasons for that, a lot of reasons. But boy, there's some real traction that's happening. We've had over 500 kids this last weekend at all of our campuses. That's amazing. We're bringing all of our students together for what's called Big, just coming up. And man, I couldn't be excited for all of you who are volunteering and working and staff and unpaid staff in the student ministry. Way to go. Way to be faithful. Way to hang in there with something that's been really hard to figure out. I hope you're enjoying the fruit. Allow the fruit to just flow down your face and enjoy every moment of it. If all of us were experiencing fruit, let us enjoy that. You know, last time we saw really crazy growth like this was a crisis time for me. Some of these stories are old to us. You know, I've heard that one, but it's good for us to continue to be reminded of these things because it's what God's done in our past and will give us a sign of our future. It was a crisis time for me. It was when we moved from our rented facility in Hyde Park to our permanent facility in Oakley. We doubled in 3 months. We tripled in 6 months. You would think that would be every 35-year-old's pastor's, you know, wet dream to have like a brand new church. It's just us, right? I can talk that way, right? You would think it would be every young, vibrant pastor, like, dream, like, oh, fantasy, like, oh, awesome. And it was cool. To be clear, it really was cool. Until I hit a wall. I hit a wall physically. I hit my back was hurting me. I hit a wall emotionally. Lib and I hit a wall maritally. It was a really, really difficult time. I was just on edge. Many of us were. I can't speak for everybody. I have to speak to myself. I was really on edge. And I remember sitting in the atrium in Oakley. It was before we used to open up the atrium for people to come in and have meetings and such. And I sat in the atrium, and I said to God during the week, God, I don't know that I can do this any longer. All of this planning we did, this campaign that we had, people gave money, we gave money, we like have no money left, the Tome family, and we got all these volunteers left, and a lot of people were just like, had nothing left in the tank in terms of money, had nothing left in the tank in terms of time. We trained people to take new roles, we've gotten volunteers in, all this stuff, built architects, all this stuff, and now bam, here we are 6 months later and it's over. Like, it's already, we're done. So now what? Another campaign, and then get more architects, and then have more volunteers, and then have more training programs of volunteers, and then what? We do it all, and then what? And then it fills up, and then what? Then we do it again? And I said, God, I don't know that I can do this. I'm 35. I don't know that I can keep doing this. That's just not the trajectory for ministry that I really want. Because I sign up to struggle, but as Colossians 1:28, to admonish. We struggle to admonish and proclaim and bring people complete in Christ. I didn't sign up for endless building campaigns. I didn't feel my calling was to building campaigns. I didn't feel like my calling was to getting volunteers to spend time. I didn't feel like my calling was to have staff strategy sessions. Now I see that all of those things can bring people to being complete in Christ. They can, but at that point, I just said, this stuff is wearing me slap out. I can't do it. I don't know if I want to do it. And God awoke in me an old vision that one of my mentors had put in me from years and years ago called the kingdom of God. He put that in my heart. And he said to me, Brian, if you will be able to take this group of people and if you can use them to raise, this isn't his words, I'm just looking back on it. If you can raise the if you can raise the boats, raise the water and raise all boats in the harbor, if you can deploy this church to be a blessing to the kingdom, a blessing to the city, and a blessing of the world, that's why you need to do it. And I said, okay, God, I got it. It was a very crystallizing moment for me. And so from that point on, as we've looked to grow Crossroads, it's always been recognizing this isn't just about bringing people to faith. It isn't just about having Crossroads, the church, grow stronger and mightier. It's about having a movement that blesses the world. It's about having a movement that's able to do things like CityLink. It's like having a movement that's able to do things like start homes for girls who've been rescued out of childhood prostitution. And as a result of that, there's been a couple things that are happening that I want to share with you that, you know, when you do something like that, God does things in you or through us we would have never planned on before. So last year, we did beans and rice. We've done it 2 years in a row where we fast for a week or we eat out of our cupboards for a week, not buy any food or not go out to dinner or whatever you might do, and we take the difference between what we're eating on the cheap and what we would normally do, and then we bring it in and we offer it as an offering. In the last 2 years, we've done that, and it's been a lot of fun. Last year, we really wanted to have something that communicated the kingdom of God is not just about poverty. It's not. The kingdom of God oftentimes is what awakens the imaginations of people who love bringing people out of poverty, and all of us should as followers of Christ, but the kingdom of God is not just about poverty. It's about every sector of society. It's about God having his rule in and through every area of your life. It's the kingdom of God coming to bear in your finances to where you're generous and making a lot more money than you were before. It's about coming to bear on your sexuality to where your desires are going the way of God. And if you're married, you're having more and better sex. That's the kingdom of God. Amen? It's about being with friends and enjoying the joy and friendships. Because Jesus says, I no longer call you slave, I call you friend. That's what he says. So when you're enjoying friendships, beautiful friendships, it's the kingdom of God. It's about new things starting. God is always starting new things in the Bible. So when new things are starting that bless a city, that's the kingdom of God. When there's beautiful art like there is at Awaited, or when there's things that at Aronoff or wherever it is, that can be the kingdom of God. And so this last beans and rice, we said all of our efforts are like trying to kick save things that are going bad and getting downstream and helping hurting people, and they should. But we got to do something that's upstream. We had these group of people who said, man, we're going to start this accelerator. I said, what's an accelerator? Well, it takes these people who have business ideas, and it sort of works with them, and it helps them launch businesses. I said, really? And I said, okay. And we said, well, there's the only thing we can think of that's upstream, it's kingdom-oriented, is this thing called Ocean, which is an accelerator. And so we said, we'll give you, I think we gave them, what did we give, $115,000 or something like that from all of our beans and rice? So we gave them that, and they said, well, we'd like to be able to meet over in the annex at Oakley because it's empty and we don't have any money for anything else. We said, okay, it's fine. You can have that most of that space over there that's unused. You know, we've got right now over in the annex in Oakley, we have 10 companies from around the country who've flown in and they're camped out there figuring out how to start a business and have Jesus be a part of it. Isn't that awesome? It's a big deal. Organizations or individuals from outside Crossroads have invested $20,000 in each one of these businesses. There's some fascinating ideas. It's the very first faith-based accelerator in the world that we know of. People from we've had articles in USA Today. People going, what is going on here? Wait, the church is trying to create businesses and make a lot of money with doing them, and there's a faith component. This is amazing. We never would have seen this happen, but it's happening, and it's beautiful. Acts 2, 46 to 47. It says, day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. We're having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. Yeah, God is adding to our number day by day those who are being saved. And not only that, it's raising the water level because people are breaking bread in homes. People are encountering other people outside of a crystal official crossroads environments, and that's exactly what we want. We want to free you up for the kingdom and be able you to have a temple experience, if you will, coming to a static structure, a temple experience where you can get fueled up, where unbelievers can come in, where the kingdom of God is going forward. And when that happens, and when you bring that into your homes, you bring that into your day-to-day lives, things happen. The ocean guys, part of why that happened was I've been meeting for a year and a half at 7 o'clock in the morning with 8 entrepreneurs, discipling them in my house. I gotta get up, I gotta like make coffee for them. Well, Lib does everything else. I do the coffee, all that stuff. And boom, this thing has helped to pop out. And these 10 businesses have come in. I didn't know any of them. These 10 businesses got 20,000. There wasn't a single person in that I knew at all, because God's bringing people from all over the country for that. It's very, very cool. And as God adds to our number, he's giving us more responsibility. You want more responsibility? You want more? Okay, you're going to get it. We're going to get it. I went over to Nicaragua to see some stuff that's happening with Compassion International, and you're going to hear about this and be able to be a part of this in March, April, one of these dates. Compassion International is the best in class in matching up someone like you or I with a child, an actual child. You know his name, you know his deal, you know his family. Matching up and supporting all of their physical and educational needs for $38 a month. Keeping a person alive and educated for $38 a month. I went over and visited this Compassion, and Lib and I have done Compassion for a long, 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 long time. And as I was interacting with some of the leaders of Compassion, it was like God just put on my heart. Best way I can put it. Crossroads need to do this. Crossroads needs to do this. And we're going to pick out a country, Nicaragua. We have picked out a country. And Compassion International is saving up kids for you and I to step in. We want to have the largest splash and have sponsor the most kids in any country in Compassion International's history. So we're going to go for 4,000 kids that we're going to sponsor in April. 4,000 kids. The largest church that's ever done is 2,500 kids, and that's a church in South Korea that I think is, I think it's like 600,000 people go a weekend or something like that. Yeah, Crossroads is not that big. So we feel, you know what? Numbers, that's a number. Who wants that? Who wants that number? Who wants to feed 4,000 kids? Who wants that number? Honestly, I think about it, my heart just gets pitter-pattering sometimes. I think God could cause us to grow for only that. God could have been bringing you and I together for only that. Only that. I'm fine to go to the judgment day. Fine to go to the judgment day tomorrow and God say, oh, gosh, Brian, you got a lot of weird stuff in your life. But that one, got that one right. Good job. Good job. Seriously, that could be the only reason why he started Crossroads. That's exactly how strong I feel about it, because it's the kingdom of God. God's called us to be about the kingdom. Acts 2, 46 to 47. Let's look at it again. And day by day, attending the temple, breaking bread in their homes, they receive their food with glad and generous hearts. Who's got a glad heart? Who's got one? Who's got a glad heart? Who's glad what God's doing in our life? And generous hearts. Glad and generous hearts. Now, the difficulty with this is that Crossroads is operating by faith today in the same degree that we operated by faith when it was Lib and I and 11 other people who started Crossroads with no building and a checking account that had $15,000 in it 19 years ago. In fact, in many ways, the level of faith is much higher now because we have a lot more obligations. We have a lot more people dependent on us, a lot more organizations that we support that are dependent on us. And I'll tell you what right now, friends, it makes zero sense in the realm of the world, in the realm of my earthly flesh, of our earthly flesh, to do Compassion International. We have zero business doing that. Because the world would tell us, anything you do to talk about money, Anything you do to talk about people giving, it needs to be talked about so that people give to Crossroads, because Crossroads is hurting financially. Not hurting like someone get laid off, but I mean, there's amazing things that we're looking to do that we just can't do on 1 to 2 weeks operating cash. And that's the world would say, but you know what? We don't play that way, do we? We don't play that way. We say, no, God gives us potential, and we don't always stretch for ourselves. We stretch when we need a car or something like that. Crossroads stretches when we need another building or something, we will again. But we want to stretch for this because we believe this is a God thing. We want to operate in glad and generous hearts. We want Him to give us our call and not the world that would say, just keep it on yourselves. And so I want you to realize this. As your church is trying to operate this way, you need to operate this way. I want to ask you to consider, how does the actions of your church that God is leading your macro church to take, is it trickling down and is it coming out of your heart? Are you operating with a glad and generous heart? I hope you are. Please do. We have another journey coming up. It's called Brave. We haven't done one for about a year and a half. It's because the last one we did, we didn't like it very much. So we said, let's just stop this thing for a little bit, because that was like one of our least creative and most ineffective ones, so many of us thought. So let's give us an extra 6 months to think through what the right process is. Let's get some new creative juices fired up, and we are ecstatic about this. It's going to be starting, 2 months or so after the Super Bowl. It's all about new things. When God wants you to do a new thing, it's because you have to be brave, and this is what God does, new things over and over again, and we want to operate by faith by doing new things. Compassion is a new thing. Ocean's a new thing. Clifton and Bogart's is a new thing. Mason, a big building, is a new thing. We want to keep doing new things, and all of us, we want us to be equipped to do new things in our families, in our businesses, in our schools, wherever we are, and it stretches us. So, in stretching us, we also want to help grow us, and last Wednesdays are going to change a bit. Woo! Someone's excited here in Oakley. Yes. Last Wednesdays are going to change. You know what I love about Crossroads? Y'all really handle change really well. Give yourselves a hand. Seriously. I got to tell you, I've been in a lot of churches for a long, long time. Churches tend to not deal with change. You deal with change really, really well. It's okay to mourn things. It's okay to not like things in the early phases, but holistically, I feel it's one of our strong suits of the community. We're able to handle change really well and new things really, really well. So for those of us who love last Wednesday, we're going to be tested whether or not we're able to handle change. We have been organizing Crossroads behind the scenes to help present every man and woman complete in Christ. It's taken up a lot of our conversations, a lot of our time. We rolled out this graphic that we've been operating on for a while. We actually had a whole series about it, and I'll give it to you if you haven't seen it or refresh your memory on it. There's four phases everyone goes through in going to maturity. Phase number one is when you seek. You seek. We're hoping that we're going to have a lot of seekers this weekend at Super Bowl. You seek. Number two, you receive. You receive Christ. Now, when this happens, you continue to seek on and on. You never graduate out of seeking. You keep seeking. And when you receive Christ, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you continue to receive grace and receive empowering of the Holy Spirit as time goes on. But there's a definitive marker of when you first become a receiver, when you receive Christ. And the next thing is, you become a follower. You're a follower. You say, Jesus, what you want, I'm going to do it. Doesn't matter what anyone else is doing. Doesn't matter what the world says to do. What you want, I'm going to do it. And finally, you become a producer. You become somebody who's actually bearing fruit, not just sort of doing the things that Jesus wants to do, but you're bearing fruit. You're able to disciple other people. You understand how to share your faith and bring someone to Christ. You know your spiritual gifts. You know how to deploy yourself in the kingdom. You become a producer. And around Crossroads, we have a massive, massive, massive logjam between receiving and following. It's like, people are getting jammed up and hitting each other in the back. We have a massive, massive, massive logjam. It's easy to go from not being a seeker to being a seeker when you feel empty. It's easy to go from being a seeker to receiver when you see the really great, the great opportunity of grace. I mean, as my friend Ken Blanchard says, that's the best deal going. How could I ever pass up grace? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But it's a really difficult thing we're seeing over and over again for a lot of people to go from receiving to following. So we're going to orchestrate and make last Wednesdays all about helping you get from a receiver to a follower. Now, there will still be worship music most times, if not all times. There's still likely to be communion if most times, if not all times. There's still likely to be teaching if most times, if not all times. Sometimes those will be like tonight where it's broadcast to all sites simultaneously. Sometimes it'll be different people in different sites. There's also going to be take-home work that you'll be able to do. There's going to be smaller group interactions that are going to have a place from time to time. There's going to be some different things happening, and you have to know it's because we want more for you. We want more for you. We don't want to just give you more good worship and more good teaching. That's good, but if you haven't noticed, we've also amped up our worship on the weekends for a variety of good reasons. Are we enjoying the weekends these days? Man, I think our musicians are doing a phenomenal job. So we want to continue to improve and work tirelessly to present more men and women complete in Christ. Romans 8:29 says, those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. It's crazy that when I really got hung up on this verse in seminary, I was like all about predestination. I'm not necessarily an anti-predestination guy. Predestination generally means coming into relationship with God. God just taps you and says, you're going to start seeking. But you know what? This verse does not say you're predestined to receive Christ. You're predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So the more people that we have as a part of Crossroads that are not conformed to the image of his son, and specifically the more people who have been around Crossroads for 2-3 years and aren't conformed to the image of his son, that shows we got a lot of work to do. We're about numbers only to the degree that they represent a changed life and a life that's closer to God. Numbers in itself are pretty darn hollow, and a lot of our numbers were just not happy with us. We have way too few of us that are happy just to receive off of Crossroads tit, and you need to start following. And I don't mean following because Crossroads needs you to be engaged. I mean you need to be following your Savior. I mean your Savior who died for you on a cross has asked you to pick up your cross and follow him, and you need to get following. You start following the thing that our Savior has given us and have him actually be our Lord. Hebrews 12:2 says, let our eyes fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He doesn't just bring us into faith. We have to allow him to finish our faith. We have to allow us to bring us to completion. Another one for us, John 14:2. Whoever believes in me will do the things that I have been doing. Dudes, this is massive. Not whoever believes in me will believe the things that I believed. Not everyone who believes in me will know the things that I know. Not whoever believes in me will go to church like everybody else has gone to church. Everyone who believes in me will do the things I've been doing. There isn't a miracle that you see Jesus doing in the New Testament that he doesn't expect his people to be doing today. Yeah. Not a single one. There's not a single one. We had massive crowds that are coming around him and following him. It's weird to me that other believers think it's weird that massive crowds are around his people at Crossroads. That's exactly what he expects because we're doing the exact same thing he did. He had crowds around. It's weird that we don't pray when we have an affliction. We only start praying once the doctor says he can do nothing for us. That's weird. We should be doing the things and growing the things he's grown in, which means I believe in prayer, I go to God in prayer, and I see God say yes to things lesser people believe that can happen, and it does happen. It does. Got this message, one more email I'll share with you. Brian, your sermon tonight sucked, and I thank God for it. I love the encouraging people that come to Crossroads. Wow. I'm in a low point in life dealing with recovery, separation from my wife and kids, and trying to find meaning in life. This series, and tonight, this was the forgiveness one, and tonight in particular, challenges me to make the tough decisions and choose the right but difficult path. I feel God calling me to stretch, to grow and mature as a man and as a Christian, and Crossroads has given me the blueprint to get it done. I pray that the Lord continues to give you and your staff which we would say the unpaid workers of Crossroads, our volunteers, discernment and courage to keep up his good work. And I thank you for helping me in ways you don't even know. I'm getting involved through First Impressions and community groups, but if there's any way that I can pay forward what Crossroads has given me, please don't hesitate to let me know. Okay, I'll let you know. I mean, people say these things like, oh, can I let you know? Who else feels this way? Anyone feel this way? Who feel? Only five people at Oakley. That's exactly why you losers have to go from receivers to followers. Anybody else want to know? West Side? The best side? Florence? Mason? Jeez, Manise. They're clapping, not here at Oakley. Oakley's going. I'll tell you, if you've received any level of grace that God has used through this place, it's the same three things as always. It's the same three. Number one, pray. Every day. Every day. You should be praying for the health of your local church. And I know you're praying for me. Thank you. Honestly, seriously. In my life, there's no question that my life has this relatively little bumps to it because I really believe it's one of the, it's my best perk. I think there's probably more people praying for me than most people. And really, I thank you for that. Please, I'm hoarding that. Any more, bring them my way. Bring them, especially Libby. She probably needs a lot more than me because she's married to me. But anyway, hey, your church. I want you to pray for your church. I want you to pray for any leaders you know in your church. I want you to pray for the people who are watching your kids in kids club in your church. I want you to pray for the discernment of the things that God wants to do. I want you to be praying over this compassion thing. Over how it is that people are going to hook up who maybe can't afford $38 a month. How are people going to share a child every month? I want you to be praying over what are the opportunities that God is calling Crossroads to do. I want you to be praying over parking jams. I want you to be praying that city officials allow roads to be put in that alleviates parking jams. I want you to be praying for community. Every day, I want you to think about your church, which is your church, I believe, is the most important thing that's happening in the city of Cincinnati. It is the most important thing. There's nothing that's been reported in the news. There's nothing that's being happening out on the internet. There's nothing more important to Cincinnati than what happens in the lives in this place called Crossroads, because there's more of them here that God's using to have redemptive potential that's out the wazoo. Honestly, friends, I believe it. I totally believe that. You should believe it. You and I are a part of something that's doing the very will of God. And so your prayers, man, great. Pray for you and your family. Do that, but your church family needs to be prayed for. That's number one. These aren't necessarily in order either. Number two, how to pay for? Give. Give. I want you to look this year soberly at your budget and where are you in going to the next level, the next percentage to get to a tithing level? Or if you're there, does God want you to go further, right? A lot of us were just blind to it, and you wouldn't be blind to needs inside of your own family, but your church family has opportunities we could take. Again, we're not crying poor around here. No one's not going without a paycheck, and God's blessing us. Please hear me very, very clearly. This is not like, oh, no, it's not. This is about the spiritual welfare of the individuals in our church and the things that God's enabling us to do. So I want you to be really serious about evaluating and being a great, great giver. And then finally, how you can pay it forward, if you're asking about that, serve. Serve. Where is it that you can get to know other people and come along other side people and actually make a difference in somebody else's life? Is it kids club? Is it the student ministry? Is it handing out programs? Is it teaching a community group? Is it hosting? We're going to need a lot of hosts for Brave. I don't know what it is, but we all know that we've been blessed by people who build into us. So let's figure out how we're going to build into people this year. Well, that's about it. Wow, okay, good. Yeah. I always think, well, I should have some big crescendo at the end of things for a vision night. Make everyone go, ah! Kind of done that the whole time, so... No big tear-jerking poem to read you or anything else. That's it. This is what we do, friends. It's what we've been doing for 19 years. It's what we're going to do this year. And it's what we're going to continue doing. God has a role and a place for us in his kingdom. And it says in the book of 1 Chronicles, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the entire land to see whose heart is fully devoted in order to bring strength. And God's eyes are going to and fro throughout the entire kingdom, and he's seeing crossroads as our hearts are fully devoted. And I believe we're going to get additional strength this year for the amazing dreams that none of us could even fathom because only God could have them. We're going to take communion up right now. And as we do communion, it centers us, right? It centers us because this isn't some stellar nonprofit with some Bible verses. It's on mission. Those things are true. But this is, we are the very body of Christ. And so I'll invite at all of our sites right now, volunteers to come forward where all the elements are, and also the band at all of our sites. You guys can come out right now. This centers us that we're not here to be productivity machines. We're here to be grafted into the vine. We're here to be family members. And so when we take communion, we're remembering that our friend Jesus, our Lord and Savior, went to a cross and was nailed to a cross. And blood spilled down his body. And he told his friends before that happened, when they were having the Passover meal, he took bread and broke it and said, "This is my body that's given for you." And they didn't realize what he was doing. They realized it the next day when they saw his body broken on a cross. He took the wine and he poured it and said, "This is for you, the wine of my covenant spilled for you." They didn't know what that meant. They thought they were just having Passover. They knew it the next day. And they saw blood flowing down his face from the crown of thorns in his head. So believers have been getting together when they have a meal of liquids and breads, just remembering the sacrifice for us. And so we're going to do that tonight. You know, all of our sites, that's how we're going to end. And we're going to have some additional worship as we have time as well. So as you come forward, you'll be given a piece of bread signifying the body of Christ, and you'll be able to dip it either in the wine glass. We are a dipping church, not a gulping church. So you'll be able to dip it into either the wine glass or the juice glass, whichever is more preferable for you. And by doing this, we all get to participate. We are one. We are one with Christ through all generations. We are one at Crossroads through all sites. And we are one in Christ with all churches all over the city and all over the world that look to Jesus as the author and finisher of our salvation. So Jesus, we just thank you for including us. We thank you for being so generous to us. And we want to tell you that your sacrifice is important to us, and we want to continue to honor you by whatever sacrifice you would have us do. But tonight is thanking you for your sacrifice that has given us eternal life and it's given us forgiveness. Tonight is not for those who are perfect. Tonight is for those who are forgiven. It's for those who want to experience your forgiveness and your freshness anew. So do something in this rite of communion. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, friends, we'll welcome you back to your site, and let's celebrate and have the table of the Lord be open to all who partake.
He is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. And all of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. And I realize just how beautiful you are, and I quit your affections out for me. Tree bending active grace is an ocean we're all sinking. Yeah, yeah. So heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. Where I think
So guys, I don't know how you're feeling right now. You might be feeling winded and tired at just the stuff Brian talked about we're going to do this year. But I tell you what, we say this a lot. We need to remember this as a team. We don't have to do this. We get to do this. We get to do this. It's going to be a great year. Thank you guys for coming. Go pick up your kids, and we will see you this weekend at Super Bowl.